97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, indeed. 801-97.5 The Fanatic, live from the Trap Tavern here in Trap, PA, 416 West Main Street. It's the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona, here with D. Lineham. I'm Devon Givens with you until 8:45. Sixers pregame coverage with Brian Seltzer. That will be up right around 8:50. Tom McGinnis on the game call live from Denver as the Sixers get back on the court, minus Ben Simmons. But back on the court for these guys, the Delaware Bluecoats, D, as we get ready for that upcoming campaign, which starts tomorrow, their season and home opener, and they have some really good players on this team. We already know about Norvell Pell and Mario Šajić, Zaire Smith down there now, but one of the newest members of the squad, a local guy from the Haverford School, from Temple University, and now a member of the Delaware Bluecoats, the Sixers organization. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Shiz Austin. Shiz, what's going on, man?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
We're excited, man. You know, you got the pregame show here for the Sixers for tonight. We're getting ready to talk to you to get ready for your campaign coming up. What's it been like so far for you?
Oh, man, it's been a dream come true, man. Growing up as a Sixers fan and to now be a part of the Sixers organization is a dream come true.
Shiz, down there tomorrow, it's going to be a sellout crowd at the 76ers field house. Just in the early going of practicing, do you notice a difference in terms of the level of talent compared to college for yourself?
Definitely. I think 1-13, we all are professionals. We all were top of our teams in college and top of our teams in high school, so down here at the competition is very high. We have guys like you said, Zaire Smith, Mario Šajić, and other guys, Isaiah Miles, who went to St. Joe's and Hayward High School. So it's a lot of guys that just are very talented, and we just come to work every single day.
And Shiz, going through the whole draft process and all, and unfortunately, you know, not being drafted, but you picked things back up, got into the summer league play, and wound up with the 76ers. What did you learn from throughout that entire process all the way up to now from being an all AAC performer and leading the conference in scoring and leading the Big Five in scoring and all that? Already a great player in your own right, but having to learn new things about this team, what have you picked up over that time?
Just hard work, you know. You have to be prepared every day, and every day is an interview. In college, you could take some days on, some days you might not go as hard, but through the pre-draft process and summer league, I just learned that every day is an interview. And luckily, like you said, I got picked up by the Sixers, and I had a couple workouts with them and showed my skill set. So, and everybody was watching. So everything you do in this stage of life, everybody's always watching. That's the biggest thing I learned.
Shiz, I'm curious. I know you guys scrimmaged the other day. One of the new rules that they're giving a test drive in the G League is the free throw shooting, with the exception of the final 2 minutes, right? That if you get fouled on a three-pointer, you shoot only one shot, but it's worth 3 points. Have you seen anybody do it in the scrimmage? And what do you think of the rule yourself?
Yeah, actually, it happened one time a little early in our scrimmage, and it was very weird seeing someone get 1 point for three shots, and it just changed the whole face of the game. But it's crazy. You grew up all your life, you know, practicing two shots and three shots, and then you just get one. So it's definitely crazy. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all works out.
Yeah, Shiz, as you talk about that, I mean, listen, tomorrow is supposed to be, it's already listed as a sellout at the 76ers Fieldhouse for your team's season and home opener. And being in that building, as you guys have had your open runs and all and getting ready for this season, who has really stood out to you that, you know, you come into this whole thing, as you say, 1-13, but you're like, oh, I didn't know that guy really had that in him.
I was at the Portsmouth Invitational with Marietta, but I would say the person that stood out to me probably maybe is Haywood Highsmith. Yeah, he signed a 2-0 with the Sixers last year, but I didn't really know who he was until I got up to Delaware and actually practiced with him, and he's been impressive so far. So I think he has big aspirations of landing a big contract this year instead of signing another 2-way. So he's been the most impressive to me, along with Isaiah Miles, who I've had some Big Five battles with. But those two guys have definitely been impressive But Haywood definitely impressed me when I arrived.
And with Haywood being a veteran, if you will, at the, you know, at the station, and being a 2A player, being in this league last year with the 76ers and the Blue Coast, how much has he helped you with this transition as you get ready for the start of this season?
He's helped me a lot. You know, I talked to him, asked him questions just about how the G League works and even how it was being up with the Sixers and just how, you know, guys were very professional up there and how he handled himself, just how to handle yourself as a professional. So I asked a lot of questions and he's been a good leader so far for me.
Shiz, do you have a feel of if you're in the rotation? Do you have a feel if you'll get minutes?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I before signing the contract, me and my agent talked about that, and it's me and Xavier Mumford are the 2 point guards on the team. So I'll definitely be in the rotation, and coach has told me I will be. So I'm ready to play. I'm anxious, and I'm glad that I'm still in the Philadelphia area once again.
Now, Shiz, Shiz Austin joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. D Lineham, Devon Gibbons with you, Shiz. After the draft process and summer league and all, and you eventually choosing to stay home and play for the Sixers organization, we can hear the excitement. We know the excitement from what we are getting ready for. But I'm sure you also have some opportunities overseas. So why choose this path versus maybe something other that could have popped up for you?
Just the me being home and just the connections I had with the Sixers. Aaron McKee was good friends with Elton Brand, who was the GM of the Sixers, and just the feel that I had in the organization, some guys that I knew, and I just felt at home with the Sixers. And in their meeting, they were saying they wanted to develop me, and eventually, you know, maybe have a shot being on the Sixers. And when I heard that, you know, no amount of money could take away from me being on the dream team like the Sixers. So I decided not to go overseas and not to go with any other team and just stay here with the Sixers organization and hopefully a dream come true. But I've been a Sixers fan. I'm a diehard Sixers fan. I've been a fan all my life, so this is an amazing opportunity for me.
Shiz, I know we always say, like, who you try to model a game after, and is there, like, somebody that you watched playing as a kid that you said, wow, I liked his style of play, and you really tried to incorporate that to your own game? Is there anybody that you stood out to you that way?
Right, definitely. Growing up as a Sixers fan, you know, we all wanted to be Allen Iverson. I had the braids and the hair and the headband and the arm sleeves.
There you go.
But once I got above 6 foot, I realized I probably wouldn't be Allen Iverson. So Lou Williams is a guy that I try to model my game
after. Great one.
Yeah, and I seen him play early on with the Sixers, and just how he plays, how he scores so effortlessly. We have the same body type, and you know him. I worked out with him a couple times in the summer, and I just really try to model my game after Lou.
Did you pick up the ball fake to get the player in the air and get that bump and get to the free throw line?
Yeah, after he did it on me a couple times, I decided.
Of course,
I needed
he
to
did.
Put that in my game.
He does it to everybody. Of course, he's going to teach you that.
And you know what else, Shiz? He's one of the best in the game right now, a fourth quarter. He's a fourth quarter guy, scoring guy.
Exactly. And that's what matters. That fourth quarter matters.
Absolutely.
In college, in the second half, but in the NBA and the G League is the fourth quarter. So he has it all, and I like watching him.
So do you feel right now, again, Shiz, that with everything Connor Johnson and Matt Lilly have already told you, the staff, that it would be more point guard, or are you going to be combo, play both positions? What does it look like right now?
I talked to Matt, and he's saying that, you know, Matt and Connor said I have the ability to play both positions, but Connor said I'm mainly be a point guard, which I'm fine with in our offense. You know, we model our offense after the Sixers, so, you know, I'm fine with playing the point guard position, and, you know, I'm ready for it.
Actually, Shiz, you know, that's really what Shake Milton did last year for them.
Exactly.
You
know,
right,
exactly.
To be, and I thought he did a great job when he running the show down there and has enabled him to get the contract that he now is not a two-way guy, but he's an NBA guy.
Exactly, and me and Shake had some battles. He was in our conference, the SMU at Temple, so
yes.
I know Shake very well, and I talked to him about it also, and he gave me some tips. So, you know, I watched his game a little bit, watched a couple of tapes of their game, so I'm ready to try to fill in his shoes that he did last year.
No doubt. And Shiz, before we get out of here and let you go, man, Temple started their basketball season. And
he
of course,
was there. Shiz was there.
Aaron McKee, you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
What are we looking at with Aaron McKee as the head coach? Get to pick up that first win. What are we looking at?
Oh, man, I was so excited for Coach McKee, man, him being there. You know, he was one of my idols growing up, and I just think he's going to do a great job with the program. You know, everyone knows I love Coach Fran Dunphy. He means the world to me, but I think Coach McKee is definitely, the program's in great hands, man. I think he's going to do a great job, and I think this year we're going to shock a lot of people. I'm going to try to make as many games I play. I just got to learn not to yell on the sideline. I can't do that anymore.
As you said, you went to and you talked to everybody about everything. How much did you talk? How much did Aaron help you when it came to, you know, not only this decision, but getting yourself prepared for the NBA? And now that you are here, what did Aaron help you out with?
Oh, yeah, we talked almost every day throughout the process. And he was talking to Elton Brand, and he was talking to me, and telling me what Elton Steve saw in me and how he thinks I could, you know, help myself and get into the organization. So, me and Coach talked. But me and Coach McKee talked a lot, and he just told me all the ins and outs of the business and how to conduct myself, going through pre-draft workouts and things like that. So it was definitely a plus having him on my side, just giving me a little inside peek about how everything goes.
Yeah, well, listen, man, you got a great gym that you're about to step into. As you know, first of all, I love the lighting, all that light shining in there on the court at the field house. And Dee Lynam, she'll be with you tomorrow. She'll be calling the game. I'll be down there soon, maybe not tomorrow, but I'll be there. We're rooting for you, man. Good luck with the start of your professional career.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Oh, Shiz, anytime. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Shiz Alston joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Dee? Good stuff.
I like that kid.
I love the Lou Williams thing. Let's talk about that on the other side. Right? No, you right away, you were like, oh, yeah, I love that. D-Lineham, Devon Gibbs, we're live from Trap Tavern here, 416 West Main Street in Trap, PA, here at the Great Trap Tavern. Great crowd here hanging out with us. We're here for two more segments before we get to Brian Seltzer and Tom McGinnis. Sixers Nuggets at 9 o'clock. This is the pregame show presented by Corona right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 820-97.5 The Fanatic. We thank Shiz Alston for joining us here on the Sixers pregame show as we get ready for the Blue Coats pregame show presented by, of course, Corona here at Trap Tavern, 416 West Main Street in Trap, PA. And we gotta talk about John, the listener here and the visitor here, come in as we have the Cups, the shooting game, D-Lineham, Devon Givens.
I can't do that.
And John just banged out five in a clutch.
I know.
To win the Sixers sweatshirt.
But you need to tell people that he's shooting a ping pong ball.
He's shooting a ping pong into cups on this board that we have, this makeshift board that we have here as a basketball court, if you will, right? And he just banged out five quick to win the Sixers prize. What was it?
If it was real.
All right. Okay, there you go. Well, you know, he knocked out that one, and it worked, and he got those. And so congrats to John, and a lot of great people come out. Jim from Souderton is out here. We finally get to meet Jim, coming to hang out, and the great people here in front of us, hanging out with us, the great people at Trap, Alan, Livy, Katie, everybody helping out, and we really appreciate the hospitality being here. Shiz Alston was fun to talk to, D, as he's talking about Lou Williams.
And I like people who he knew right away. Like, you know, thought about this.
He said, listen, everybody like, wants to be Allen, but I figured that out quick. 6'2", and I'm stopping Lou Williams.
Yeah, and he noticed that, like, the body type is similar. His scoring prowess is similar. You know, and so you can learn from people like that. And the other thing I like is that he has looked at what Shake Milton was able to do for the Blue Coats a year ago. And now Shake is, you know, unfortunately he's rehabbing, but he's with the Sixers and has an NBA contract because of his work that he did as a two-way guy last year.
Yeah, I look forward to watching what Shake. I mean, you know, we always root for the local guys. I say it every time. No matter where they are around the NBA, I always root for the local guys for them to succeed. And with him staying home, and I thought that was interesting too, D, to point out that he had other opportunities. You know how it goes. There's more money overseas when you have to go a different route. He said no amount of money
was better than this opportunity
in this situation to play for his home team. So,
and he took advantage of Aaron McKee yes. having played for the organization, knowing Elton Brand, knowing what Elton wants to do, Aaron helping him make aware of what Shiz could bring to the table. I think there's just a lot of positives that came from that conversation.
Never anything wrong with connections, and you can't ignore the fact that his father, again, LeVan Austin, playing the way he did at Temple, being one of the greats there, and then going overseas and playing, growing and learning from his father and getting to the point that he is now. Professional basketball player, taking a different path, but it's not like you have to stop there, and it's just the start. And I root for that guy.
And Devon, you know, I mean, going overseas has done well for a lot of people.
A lot of people.
But you go to the G League website, and you'll see the number of call-ups over the last couple of years, and then guys who now have jobs in the league because of their affiliation with the G League.
Yep.
And it's a very good choice for a lot of people.
It's a good living.
And actually,
and a good
let
career
me tell you,
path.
And for the Blue Coats, that building is awesome.
I love it.
And you are relatively close to a major city. A lot of them, that's not the case. You're in the middle of nowhere. But
30 minutes away.
Yep.
30 minutes away.
So I think it's a great situation.
Absolutely. So we thank the Blue Coats, Alex Yeo, and Shiz Austin for setting that up. That was great. Good to hear from him. We root for them. So if you have a chance, guys, I'm telling you, the building is fantastic. Dino's better than I. I've been there a couple of times. Dee's been there way more than I. That building is fantastic.
It really is.
And I keep saying it. I love the lighting, especially when it's daytime and that light is coming through the roof, right? It's fantastic. 610-632-0975. But we do have a Sixers basketball game tonight, and I'm sure these great people here at the Trap Tavern will stick around and check out their home team and check out the hoops action from Denver as we get ready for them to take on Jokic and Denver here with the 365 days a year, 11 a.m. right to 2 p.m. here, 30 big screen TVs, so you can come take advantage of it here at this spot at the Trap. D, as we look at Denver right now, 5-2 in the Western Conference, led by Jokic, but they have plenty of talent along up and down that roster. Jamal Murray.
Yep. Gary Harris.
Paul Millsap is still in the mix. You want to see what Michael Porter is going to be. He's not there yet. Monte Morris.
Will Barton.
Will Barton and Malik Beasley. They have stuff up and down this roster. And I was talking to the guys here during one of the breaks saying they don't really have a star to step up. Well, Jokic is that star. Right now, he's not.
I didn't realize how low his numbers are compared to a year ago.
I see, yeah. His conditioning is awful right now, but he still has the passing touch. He can do that. He doesn't play defense.
Who's going to look like they're in better shape, he or Embiid tonight?
Well, Jokic is used to the mile high, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, so let's see with Embiid. But they've been there for 2 days. But Denver has been off since Tuesday. Their last game was Tuesday. A win for them, and in this particular case, for them, they've been able to sit and rest and watch the 76ers and do their scouting and game plan and all of that, where the Sixers have to adjust to that altitude in Denver and all. It's going to be a very good contest, I think, against these two teams. Embiid will get up for Jokic, and I'm sure Jokic will get up for Embiid. What happens in the surrounding cast, I think, is key, especially with no Ben Simmons. How does the lineup look tonight? Is it Raul Neto tonight, or is it going to be Matisse Thybulle starting lineup? Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup? Who will it be? I have no idea.
I've been scouring Twitter, and then I even...
I
texted Coach Lineham, and I didn't hear back yet.
I tend to think, and you look at the lineup, you look at the starting lineup that they will put out there, the Denver Nuggets, with Murray and Jokic, of course, is the two main guys. Barton started the last game. And then you, of course, incorporate Millsap and I can't remember who the other player was. Jeremy Grant, I don't think, started for them.
No, he didn't.
When you look at that particular team, I'm thinking go defense first to try to shut down a lot of that offense that they do have out there on the floor. So I might look to go Matisse Thybulle to kind of get him back into that rhythm where he struggled the last few games. Try to kind of get him back on the floor and get into that mix, or would you prefer to leave him coming off the bench in his normal role since he does get a good amount of minutes?
Not so much that. I don't want to put Josh Richardson in the position of having to be the point guard to start the game.
Really?
I'd like him as a backup minutes. Yeah, I'd rather see Neto out there, to be honest with you.
All right.
That's just me.
Okay.
I want the offensively, I want them sharp to start. And I don't know if I want Josh in that role. I think I need I think I need him as the two guard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, you just want, hey, go out there and do your thing, focus on that score and play defense.
Yeah.
Because Neto is not really going to look for his. He'll get his, but he won't necessarily look for it. First, he's going to run the team, and he's going to worry about that. Where and you don't want Josh Richardson having to worry about both to start things off, set the tone of the game.
And Neto can feed Embiid. I'd like
passing.
To see Embiid. Yeah.
Interior passing.
Interior passing.
It's a lost art. 610-632-0975. Chris on the cell has been waiting patiently. Thanks, Chris. You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you.
D, I wanted to just say real quick, if I could, I've been listening to you in some fashion for about 20 years.
Oh, geez.
And I really appreciate your experience, your dedication, and your expertise in the NBA.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about Ben real quick. Not that I want to bash him at all. I think he's a unique talent, a terrific athlete. I don't want to lose him from our team. But I'm a stat guy, and I just wanted to give you a couple stats on why I think he's not playing the right position. Especially this summer, after saying that he wanted to work on his outside shot and things. If you look at his stats of the first seven games this year versus last year, the shot chart is actually showing he's shooting less outside shots than he did last year. His field goal percentage is down, and his free throw percentage is no better. He's also not drawing any more foul shots, which is one thing I thought he should be learning how to do. So, personally, I think he'd be a much better point forward than a point guard. And if the Sixers got a point guard with him, and he could always flip-flop all around, this team would be outstanding.
See, Chris, I thought that that's what they would do anyway when they brought Josh Richardson in here to help him with the ball-handling duties in general. We haven't seen it as much as of yet, but I've seen Tobias Harris bring up the ball. I've seen Josh Richardson bring up the ball as well while Ben is simply inbounding it, or they inbound to him, and he gives it right back. So, I hear what you're saying. A true point guard,
three-pointer, exactly. That's how this team is going to be an outstanding team.
I hear you.
Thanks for the call, man.
And unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I understand what he's saying.
It's not going to happen, and I don't even think it's that. It's him. It's up to him.
Well, that we've determined that.
That's it. It's up to him, and now you shouldn't be, at this point, have to make those type of concessions, right? You shouldn't have to make those type of concessions because you already have this elite type of talent. He has to elevate to that elite level, but that elite type of talent where he can do all those things, you shouldn't have to make those types of changes is what I'm saying to do that. Have to go out there and get an actual point guard to do these things. It's up to him.
Yes.
610-632-0975, our final segment here from Trap Tavern here in Trap PA. The Sixers pregame show is, of course, presented by Corona. That is D Lineham. I'm Devon Givens. Andrew Salchunas giving out stuff during the break. Again, John was fantastic knocking down those shots with the cups and the ping pong balls. Well, final segment coming up, talking Sixers Nuggets. Hopefully they get a win. We'll talk about it with Drew and Dave to close things down on the other side here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Final segment for us as we hand things off to Brian Seltzer at 8:45 for the Sixers pregame show. They are in Denver, and this is the pregame show presented by Corona Trap Tavern, presented by Corona, 416 West Main Street in Trap, PA. D Lineham, you have an update on the starting lineup?
Yes, sir.
What do we have? Matisse Thybulle.
Mr. Neto going to be.
Ah, you win again.
Going with the point guard.
I like it.
Feed Embiid.
Feed the big fella. It's his team. Now, who steps up as that second scorer? Should be Tobias Harris. Second scorer, like I'm saying, Ben Simmons goes out there and drops 19, but he does not.
Averaging the lowest of all the starters.
Yes, he's averaging 13. Yeah, he's averaging 13.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like that move. You're right. As we talk about it, I mean, listen, come on. Interior passing is a lost art in today's game. A simple entry pass. I used to get mad at the Sixers for not being able to make it. And you have someone who's going to do it the way it's supposed to be done, go out there, run the team, get everybody else where they need to be. Hopefully Horford picks up his scoring. Tobias Harris goes out there and is efficient tonight. Josh Richardson had a really good game offensively against the Utah Jazz the other evening on Wednesday, and I hope he continues that.
Yes. I need a fast start out of these guys tonight. I don't want
15-4.
I don't want it looking like they've already got on the plane coming home. You know what I mean? Sometimes you check out.
Yep.
You know, 4-game West Coast swing that's taken a, you know, over a week's time.
Yes.
I need them to be present in the moment in the Mile High City.
It's always the final game of the road trip or the first game returning home because it's just
except for the Hornets are the not that good, so I'm not worried about Sunday.
That's the get-right game against the Charlotte Hornets. That's the get-right game.
Mm-hmm.
Real fast before we get back to the phones, Rodney McLeod is trying to raise some money for the AACR. Win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagle safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Just go to 975thefanatic.com/donate to make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagle Safety Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 97.5 The Fanatic. All right? All right. Go do that for us. For us, we go next to the phones with Drew in Westchester. Drew, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's going on, Devon? What's going on, D? How you guys doing tonight, man?
Doing all right.
Good, yeah. I'm kind of jealous you guys are at the Trap Tavern. I used to live there back in the day before I was married and had kids on Friday nights. That used to be my go-to place to hang out, man.
Absolutely.
I used to, like, that golden tea machine. I don't know if they still got one there, but I used to live with that, me and my buddies, man. We would rule that game all night long, so... good times at that place, very, very much so.
A lot of layers at this place.
Yeah, man, but about the Sixers tonight, you kind of answered my first question about the starting lineup. I thought it might be Thibault, but you said Nato, so that's cool. That works for me. I think he deserves it. But I was reading an article in Sports Illustrated, or actually online today, and they were talking about how the Sixers are struggling offensively versus their, you know, how well they're doing defensively. And I kind of don't, I mean, they had good numbers to support their cause, but I don't really see us struggling that bad offensively. I know, you know, our three-point shooting's a little bit iffy at that, but, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I know defensively we're a juggernaut, but offensively, I mean, I don't think we're that bad, are we?
Well, the three-point shot is night-to-night concerning. Now, some nights they've been fine with that. But other nights they've really struggled, and in particular, Tobias Harris has not been the guy that shot 42% from three as a Los Angeles Clipper last year. So that I would say is a little concerning. I would say defensively, that last game their defense was not up to snuff, because I think they allowed them to shoot 46% from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see their defense. And they've dropped. Denver actually is a better defensive team. They hold opponents. They have the fourth lowest opponents' points per game at 101, and the Sixers have jumped up to 108.
Wow. Okay, let's go to Dave in Center City to close things out for us here on the Sixers pregame show. What's up, Dave?
Hey, gang.
What's happening, man?
I'm already in a foul mood tonight. I couldn't get through to the team in the West, so... I'm not going to be my usual jovial self.
Oh, be your jovial self. It's a Friday night, and it got a Sixers game coming on. Come on, Dave.
So bear with me. Listen, the definition of a good head coach or manager is one, when their back is against the wall and times are desperate, that coach steps up and shines, and his true genius shows. Bill Belichick, Doug Peterson. On the flip side, we have Gabe Kapler and Andy Reid. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, gang. Brett Brown reminds me of an underachieving head coach we had, and I know Denise remembers him, by the name of Gene Shue. He had an all-star team of Sixers, much like Brett Brown did. They were prohibitive favorites against a weak Portland Trailblazer team, and they bombed. 2 weeks into the next season, ownership terminated Gene Shue. I would like to see either one of the Van Gundy brothers take over or Jim Lynam.
You know what, Dave? Thanks, man. We got to get moving. I don't think that's going to happen right now, and they are not in a position to make that type of decision. That will be something that would happen at the end of the year. But, you know, it is what it is. I like the Van Gundy guys. I like Coach Lynam. He's on TV right now. And
I was trying to take a selfie with my dad over my head. Didn't work out.
We should have got one of the guys to do that for us. But, Dave, we got a lot of people to thank as we get things going here. We have to start with, back at the studio, Dylan McKinnon producing the show. Of course, Nick and Dan is doing something to make us look pretty good here, engineering stuff. They always do a fantastic job. Kev, Jimmy, and Cam on the ground crew handling everything, guys. We really appreciate it, as always. And here at the Trap, the great people, of course, Alan, Livy, thank you so much. And Katie as well. They've been very helpful with everything, making sure we're all good to go here in our time. And the great people who stopped by, like John winning the prize and the other people who won the prize, Tom and Souderton. And we talked to Dez during the break. Appreciate Dez stopping by. Really appreciate that, man. So we'll be back hopefully at some point to this spot, man.
I love it.
This is fantastic, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's fantastic.